As I said in the Sunday School Hour this morning, I wanted to talk about faithfulness. I shared that some churches today will stop supporting missionaries when they do not see results. They overlook, they don't see the faithfulness of the servant as being more important than the results. I'm often thinking if a man like Noah nowadays would be supported by many of our churches. Because he preached for many years. And who were the only persons to come with him? His own family. So, you know, it's a sad time that we live in today in some of our churches. But again, our attention should be focused on our mission, on the task that God has given us, to be reminded that what he is going to be rewarding in heaven is not the results. It's the faithfulness. And this morning I wanted to talk about faithfulness, and I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and here we have a very good example of what faithfulness is all about. We have here the story of Abraham when he was tried by God, when he asked him to give his son as an offering, as a sacrifice. Abraham being one of the heroes of the faith that we have listed in the book of Hebrews, I believe is a great example for us to find principles that we can apply in our lives in order for us to be found faithful, in order for us, when we meet Christ, that he will welcome us by saying, "Welcome home, faithful servant." Let's start reading at verse 1, shall we, of Genesis chapter 22. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." The question this morning is, are we faithful? Are we faithful to the task that God has given each one of us? We're not all called to be missionaries. We're not all called to be pastors or evangelists, but we're all called to one common thing, and that is to witness, to be the salt, to be the light of this world, to make the difference, to show the path to the unbelievers, to the unsaved, to show the path to Jesus Christ, for them to be saved. That is our common mission. The question is, are we faithful? Are we faithful in that task? Faithfulness is a very important aspect of Christian life. As I said earlier, what Christ is going to reward is our faithfulness. Have we obeyed? The first principle I see here in Abraham's life for us to implement in our own lives in order to be found faithful, first of all, we need to be listening to God's call. Not only listening, but also answering God's call. In verse 1, we read that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now, as you read the book of Genesis about the story of Abraham, you see that Abraham was a man who had a very close relationship with God. He spoke with God, and God spoke to him. He had this very special relationship with God. Some of us today might, you know, think, oh, it'd be so great to have this kind of relationship, to be walking with God and talking with Him. But we often forget that we have way more than what Abraham had at his time. We have the complete Word of God. And God speaks to us through His Word, and we can speak to Him through prayer. But we need to have this relationship with God in order to be found faithful. Now, I'm reminded of this one story when I was a young kid growing up in France. Often with the kids in the neighborhood after school, we would get together and play soccer. And one of the kids, he lived probably 3 or 4 houses away from where we would play soccer. And every time when it was time for him to go home, his mother would open the window of the house and she would just shout out his name. I mean, she would yell. Everybody heard her. I mean, even people who had their windows closed would hear her. But this one kid would continue to play soccer with us. So she would yell out his name a second time. And he would continue to play a third time, and he would continue to play. And finally, as amazing and almost impossible, we did hear a difference in the tone of her voice when she would yell out the name of this one kid. And we knew it was really time for him to go home, or he would be really, really in trouble. And so he would go home. Now, why am I sharing this illustration with you? Because too often, us Christians, we act the same way with God. We perfectly heard His call the very first time. But we are so much involved in things and activities that pleases us, that we think are more important than to answer God's call. We ought to be careful as Christians. We know what God's call is for every one of us. As I said, go to all nations, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. We're all called to do this. Are we listening to God when He is calling? Do we have the same attitude as Abraham here? God calls and Abraham says, Here I am. I'm reminded also of Samuel when he was called by the Lord. And he said, Here I am. I am listening. Your servant is listening. Do we have this same attitude when God is talking? Do we spend that time every day with Him through the Word of God? How is God going to speak to us? Well, through His Word, through the preaching of His Word. That is how we're going to have this special relationship that Abraham had with God. Listening and answering when God is calling. Another principle that we see in this passage is that not only we need to listen and answer when God is calling, well, we need to submit. Notice how Abraham submitted to God. When in verse 2, God told him, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham talked back to God and said, God, this is too much. Don't you have something else I could do for you? This is too difficult. I'll never be able to do this. I don't know. You can look in any other Bible and translations, but I see in verse 3 that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Submission. We don't see here Abraham trying to, gain time, trying to deal with God, and not having to do this, as many of us would do. Here we see Abraham getting up early in the morning, not complaining, not arguing. We see here Abraham submitting to God. Submitting right away. The word submitting, comes from the Latin, submission, to be placed under. We need to place ourselves under the authority of God. Now, the reasons that people do not have faith, do not believe in God, is not because they lack the proof of God's existence. It's because they know God exists, but they don't want to obey to Him. Faith requires to obey to God. Faith requires that we understand who we are and who God is. God being the creator, us being the creatures, God being the Almighty, and we being insignificant, small, nothing. Putting things back in perspective. That's what faith requires. Faith is an act of obedience. And here, Abraham is demonstrating his faith by obeying to God. Now, I know that many people today, say that they are Christians. And a lot, maybe you have some, and I'm not, targeting you or anything like that, okay? But you have all kinds of stickers that you can put on your car, the fish sign and things like that. And we try to demonstrate our faith by these things. But I challenge you to look at this passage and see how Abraham demonstrates his faith in this passage. And you'll notice that he will demonstrate his faith more in actions than in words. His actions here speak more than his words. What would have happened if Abraham said, "Oh yes, Lord, I'll do this," and would not do it? Would that be faith? Would that be faithfulness? No. You have to have the actions to confirm what the words are saying. You can say to people you're a Christian, but it is your actions. Your actions is what is going to speak to the people. This is what's going to be the testimony to the people. And here Abraham is doing exactly that. Demonstrating his faith. His obedience is a testimony of his faith in God. We need to submit ourselves to God. Whatever God is calling you to do, even though it seems impossible. I mean, let's put things back in perspective here in this passage. What is God asking Abraham to do? Basically, to give him his son. I mean, to kill his son for God. Remember who Isaac was? He was the son of the promise. God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. And Isaac was born. He was Abraham's only son. It says in verse 2, "Thine only son, Isaac." Notice that here, Ishmael is not considered as Abraham's son. Here we're talking about Isaac being the only son. And this passage is really wonderful because it's such a great image of God's love for us, of Christ's sacrifice on a cross for us, giving his life, going up on the mountain to give his life. But here, again, what we see is a man submitting to God, obeying to God, even though it seems impossible. What are we ready to give God? The third principle I see in this passage is that we need to be ready to give God our most precious, what we hold in our life as the most precious thing that we have. In this case, Isaac, the only son, the one Abraham loved. Let me ask you, what is it in your life that is the most important, that is the most precious that you have? And it can be anything. It could be your wife, your husband, your children. Could be your jobs, your reputation. Could be your money. What is it in your life that you hold on as the most precious? And when you have the answer for that, and I'm pretty sure you already have the answer for that, what you need to do is take that and give it to the Lord. Because here, Abraham did not hesitate. Christ himself did not hesitate to give his life for us. What are we ready to lose in order to be faithful, in order to be obedient? Parents, are you ready to see your kids go to a foreign country to bring the gospel message to, let's say, you know, some lost tribe in the Indian Ocean? Are you ready to let them go? I'm thankful for my mother's parents, my grandparents here in the States. They're both with the Lord now, but for their testimony. My grandmother was asked once about my mother, and she was asked, you know, well, isn't it difficult, you know, to not see your daughter? She's overseas. You only see her probably every 4 years. How do you deal with that? And my grandmother's answer was, my children all belong to the Lord. What he has in plan for them, it's his will. And whatever happens, I know that I will see her in heaven. Are you ready to let your kids go? Maybe it's not your kids that you hold as the most precious thing you have. Maybe it's your jobs. Ask yourself this question. Am I ready to lose my job in order to witness to one of my coworkers? With, you know, all these companies, their policies about witnessing on the spot, on the jobs, that you could be in trouble and even be fired, lose your job because you witness. Are you ready to lose your job for one soul to hear the gospel message? For Abraham, it was his son. And we just saw how Abraham did not hesitate. That he went early in the morning, prepared everything. I mean, he's the one who prepared the wood. He prepared the ass and got some young men to go along with them. He prepared everything. He even built the altar, put the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the wood. He had his knife ready to slay his son. And just as he was ready to slay his son, the angel of the Lord, Christ himself, tells him, hold your hand. What was the reason of all this? Verse 12 says, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This was a test. And often, when God, you know, gives us something to do, and we look at it as and it seems impossible, we need to have the same faith as Abraham. Up until the last second. And God said, I know that you fear me now. In order to be faithful, as I said, first of all, you need to listen, answer, submit, be ready to give our most precious. An example of that is my dad. My dad is French. He was born in France in 1945, shortly after the war. He grew up in a home with a Catholic father and a Protestant mother, and there were him and his brothers and sisters sent to the Catholic Church. And as he grew up, by the age of 17, he realized that there was really no point in going to the Catholic Church, going to the priest and confess the sins, and come back the next week and confess the same sins again and over and over and over again. He saw no point in that. And so he quit going to the Catholic Church. He started to be interested in philosophers and studied a lot, read a lot. And then later on, he was preparing to become a lawyer. And at the age of 21, he was walking in the streets of the village where he lived. And a group of young people came up to him and invited him to come to a youth rally in Belgium. And it was a long weekend, it was a holiday. And so he said, well, sure, why not? I have nothing to do that weekend. And so he went up there, not knowing it was a Christian youth rally. He went up there because, you know, it would be a great opportunity for him to meet young people from other countries there in Europe. And for the very first time in his life, he heard the gospel message. And for the very first time, he heard how the prophecies of the Old Testament were accomplished in Jesus Christ. And for him, that's what triggered his salvation. He got saved in his bedroom, asking God to forgive his sins. And as he went back home, of course, he told his parents, his family, they all thought he was crazy. But soon he was able to find a church to attend, and he was baptized, and soon knew that God was calling him for the ministry. And when he announced that to his family, they were not very happy. My grandfather had worked all of his life in the mines, coal mines. And for him, his oldest son, you know, preparing to be a lawyer was a big deal. And now to hear that he was giving up all that to become a preacher was a big shock for him. In fact, they called the uncles and aunts to come, and they had a family reunion. And for hours, they told my father, tried to, you know, persuade my father not to become a preacher. And that at that time, there were no schools in France or Europe, so his pastor, you know, suggested to him to go to America to get his training. And so for hours, they tried to persuade him not to do this. Finally, they told him, if you do this, you're no longer part of this family. If you do this, we're not going to help you financially. You're on your own. And there my father was faced with a difficult choice. What a dilemma. His family that he loved did not want him to be part of that family anymore because of Christ. The choice was to obey God and lose his family, the ones he loved the most, or to disobey God and then what has become of his testimony? Gone. Gone because they were able to make him change his mind. And I thank the Lord that my father did the right thing. He obeyed. He went to America. Got his training. That's where he met my mother. There is a price to pay. There is. But believe me, this price is nothing compared to what Christ paid on the cross for us. Be ready to lose, to give your most precious to God. But in all this, we see that God provides. That was the answer that Abraham gave to his son. God will provide. And God did provide. He gave him a ram to sacrifice. Whenever you obey God, whenever you walk in obedience, God will provide. God will bless. Here in this passage, we read that in verse 13 and 14, that Abraham found the ram and sacrificed him. In verse 14, he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And then in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called out Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Obedience, faithfulness is rewarded by God blessing. God provided and God blessed Abraham. Now it's interesting because in verse 14 says, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You know, I believe that Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Up until Moses, people knew that this place was called Jehovah Jireh because of Abraham's testimony. And even today, because we have the Word of God, thousands of years later, Abraham's testimony still speaks to us. Now, don't you want to have that in your life? Don't you want your life to have the same value there that people, years later, thousands of years later, will speak about you and how you were faithful? Whenever you are faithful, not only you're going to impact, well, people, your life, because God is going to bless you and provide for you, but it tells us also in verse 18 that we will be a blessing for others. Verse 18, it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about Christ being born, the Messiah being born from the family of Abraham. And because Abraham was faithful at this time, we here today are blessed because of Abraham's faithfulness. Do you see the extent of it? One step of obedience, of faithfulness, impacted humanity. Don't you want to have a life like that? I pray, God, that as we go back to France, we will be faithful. And I ask you to pray for us to remain faithful. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be hard times. There are going to be trials. But pray that we will remain faithful. Because at the end, that's what counts. Do you want to hear Christ welcome you by saying, welcome home, faithful servant? Don't you want to hear that? Now ask yourselves, what do I need to do in order for that to happen? We saw it in this passage this morning. Listen to God's call. Submit to His call. Be ready to give your most precious. And I say be ready to give your most precious. I mean, to hear Abraham at verse 3, he had already given his son. But again, God just wanted to see how far Abram would go. And sometimes, you know, in our trials, we see it as almost impossible. Again, God just wants to see where we will go. Be ready to give your most precious. Because God, and every step of obedience you'll make, He will provide and He will bless. An example of that, I'll come back to my dad's story. My parents came back to France in 1972. They, basically didn't have a home to stay in. They had no house or nothing. Guess who took them in? My grandparents. What happened? He was no longer part of that family. God blesses and God provides. And praise the Lord, because several of his brothers and sisters came to know Christ, his mother. We're not sure about my grandfather. He died in 77 of cancer, and we're not sure if he ever made peace with God or not, but he knew what to do. But often, I ask myself, what if? I would not even be here. That's for sure. That's a given. But what if? Are we faithful? You know, we're here this morning, today, to talk about missions. And often when we have, you know, mission emphasis months or missions conference, we as missionaries, we feel like, well, we're in the front row there, everybody's looking at us and looking up to us, but it's not about us. It's about the lost souls. That's the main objective of missionaries. It's not to be, you know, famous or popular in churches and things like that. It's about the lost souls. Are we faithful in our witnessing? Let us pray, and then I'll ask Pastor to conclude this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Abraham and his testimony, for his obedience, for the example that he is for us. Lord, we know what you expect of us. We know what we're supposed to do. Yet often we get distracted, or we even refuse to do exactly what you want us to do as far as reaching the lost souls. Lord, I pray that you will work in our hearts, that you will help us to become the faithful servants you want us to be, to make that difference in our world, to be that light and that salt. Lord, I pray this morning for anyone who has been touched by this message, by this passage this morning about Abraham. I pray that you will give them strength and courage to make the right decisions. That you will help us, everyone here this morning, to be the faithful servants, to give us courage to witness. Paul himself often asked people to pray, that he would speak boldly, that he would have the courage to witness, to speak the gospel message. And if a man like Paul needed it, oh, we sure certainly need it more. And Lord, I pray that you will give us boldness, courage, a zeal to bring the gospel message to lost souls around us. Again, Lord, thank you for this time that you have given us to open your word. And thank you for your love, for your patience, for your plan for our lives, that your will is perfect, that you know us better than ourselves. and that you have something special for each one of us to do, because you know us. Lord, again, I pray that this morning none of us would leave this church, this building, without making sure, without asking themselves, am I faithful? In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Heard a message this morning that strikes at the very heart of where most of us are living. We like to talk about God. We like to talk about service to God. But when it comes to action, when it comes to when God puts his finger on this particular area, we recoil, pull back in, and we say, well, Lord, that's just too much. That's too much. And yet we have the account that's given to us there in Genesis of a servant of the Lord, that when God said, I want you to bring your son, Abraham didn't recoil. He didn't pull back in. He said, yes, Lord, and he got busy about what the Lord had asked him to do. That's the heart, folks, of service to Christ. It's listening to God's voice, and when he speaks, yes, Lord, and going to do that. Let's turn together to 374. 374, let's stand together, please. We're going to sing on stanzas 2 and 4 of Jesus Calls Us. I want to read this verse of 2. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store. What is that? Very lofty language, but it simply means your wallet or your child or the dearest, most precious thing in your life. That's what he's saying here. He calls us from the worship of the most precious thing in your life, from every idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. What did God say about Abraham at the end of that passage? Did you notice that? He said, I know now that you fear me because you didn't hold back your son. In other words, the most precious thing, you were willing to give it for me. I know you love me because you fear me. Folks, if you don't fear God, you don't love him. Don't talk about how much you love him if you don't fear him. If he can't put his finger on your heart and say, I need this, and you respond with a yes, Lord, then you don't fear him and you do not love him. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. That fourth stanza, Jesus calls us, by thy mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy what? Obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. The Lord has spoken to your heart. Maybe this morning you need to move forward and spend time before his throne confessing sin or saying, Lord, yes, whatever it is. Maybe it's your job that's taking precedence, or maybe it's a child, or maybe it's your wealth, whatever the case. Lord, I give it all to thee. You do with what you want me to be, what you want my child to be. I hold nothing back. Let's sing together stanzas 2 and 4. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience, serve and love thee best of all. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the powerful message that we've heard this morning that comes down to the very place where we are living today. It's not talking about how much we love Jesus that matters. It's showing how much we love the Lord. And we show that love in two ways, by fearing thee and by obeying thee. And Lord, we pray that you would work in hearts this morning. Lord, I have no doubt that in our congregation, the Lord has been dealing with some concerning the matter of service for thee. There are some that the Lord, Holy Spirit's been working on concerning the matter of salvation. Souls that need to be saved and lives that need to be turned over to thee so that you take charge, that you lead and guide and direct. And Lord, we thank you for the message that we've heard this morning that illustrates the testimony of a faithful servant of God. who was tested concerning the very promised gift that was so hard coming by. A child that was born in the waning years of life, promised from God, and yet God said, I want that son. And Abraham had no recoiling at the request, no hiding, no withholding, but went quickly to carry out what God had asked him to do. Father, there are some here this morning that need to stop pulling back, and they need to start turning things over to Thee. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit touch that heart, and may they come in faith and get things right with Thee. We ask, Father, that You would continue to use Your Word to work in hearts even through the afternoon hours and into this evening, Lord. Pray that Your Holy Spirit would be working in hearts. Now dismiss us with Thy blessing. Watch over our flock and bring us back together again tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.